Freak.
Freak.
Accident.
Freak.
Accident.
One last up to adventure in the amazing year 400 billion.
You know, we could, like, go to jail for this.
Am I going mad? Or did the word fake escape your lips?
I might be.
Hey, how you doing? What, I'm late? My podcast? It was supposed to be yesterday? Yeah, I was a little. Oh, well, I guess, you know what, my microphone's on, so why don't I just get going with that? Okay. I'll talk to you later, Joey. Yeah, thanks for all that research you did for me. I'll add a little extra in your paycheck, yeah. Alright, talk to you soon. Bye. Oh, alright, hello everybody, this is Jeremy and welcome to the Freak Accident Podcast for, October the 7th, 2006, thanks to Joey Diamonds for reminding me that I am a little late. I know I'm a little late, I was a little under the weather yesterday, so I decided to take the day off and, you know, drink some soup and try to feel a little better, and plus my voice sounded like I was trying to sound like Rush Limbaugh, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to try to sound like him, because that just isn't going to work. So, anyway, welcome to the podcast. This is my 10th episode. I can't believe I've actually made it 10 weeks of doing a podcast on freaks and geeks and all this other stuff in between. So, those of you who have been with me since episode 1, thanks so much. I'll try to do my best to not disappoint and do at least 10 more. So, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, and let's talk movies, comics, and all the other stuff. So, here we go.
Freak movies.
All right, in movies this week, what's opening? The Departed, which is a Martin Scorsese movie starring Jack Nicholson, Leonardo DiCaprio, Matt Damon, and Mark Wahlberg. And this really looks like a good movie. It's hopefully a return to the greatness that is Goodfellas or Casino. Not a lot of people like Casino as much as Goodfellas. I guess I could fall in that ballpark, but I think Casino was brilliant compared to some of the other films that came out the year that it was out. But so The Departed comes out, and it looks like a great movie. It's about an undercover cop in South Boston assigned to infiltrate a mob syndicate run by a guy named Costello, who's played by Jack Nicholson. And on the other side, there's a young criminal played by Matt Damon, who has embedded himself in the police department's special investigation unit. And apparently both their lives become in danger when the two organizations realize they have moles within their ranks. This looks like a really, really intense crime thriller. It's based on a Japanese, or Hong Kong, not sure. It's based on a trilogy called Internal Affairs. And it looks just really intense, and I wouldn't be surprised if this finished out number one. It would be sad if it didn't, because there's other movies coming out that I'm sure appeal to the masses that aren't movie snobs like myself, such as Employee of the Month, starring Dane. Some people think I'm funny, even though I'm not Cook, as well as Jessica. Nobody goes to a movie to watch me act Simpson. So, we'll only time will tell, and judging by the reality of it all, Employee of the Month might actually do well, which is sad, because it just looks stupid. It's the same old, same old. But, you know, hey, maybe Open Season will be number one again. Congratulations to my friend Jack, who worked very hard on that movie, and they finished on number one last week. I hope they do well again this week and continue to do well. Anyway, in other movie news, there has been an announcement that there will be no sequel to Serenity. If you don't know Serenity was a film based on in the universe of the television show Firefly, which was on Fox for about 3 or 4 weeks, and then they canceled it. They didn't really give them a good enough chance. I don't think they really got behind it. They put it on a Friday night slot, assuming that everybody who watches science fiction shows don't have dates on Friday nights. So they really didn't get behind it enough. But they did give it a $39 million budget on a science fiction movie, and it didn't do very well. It actually has not made back that $39 million. I think this was just a... It was a whole series of bad decisions. If Firefly had been given a chance to at least last a season or two on Fox before spinning off into movies, I think it would have appealed to a bigger audience. It was a cult favorite. People liked Serenity, but not enough people liked it to get behind a movie based in that universe. Serenity was a great movie. I actually reviewed it in my first podcast when it was on DVD. And I think if it had been given the right chance, there would be a sequel. But because there was a whole series of bad decisions and bad moves made, Serenity is not going to have a sequel, and Firefly is basically going to die. Joss Whedon actually said, "There's no sequel, no secret project regarding Serenity or some such, and I'm not even sure how anyone thought there was talk there. So let's put that bed to bed and smother it with a pillow." I think Josh sounds a little bitter. Here's a guy who has had reasonable success with Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He's had success with some comics. He's a good director, a good writer, and I think he might be a little bitter that his project didn't really get the push it deserved. And I'm not happy about that either. And I'm sure there's a bunch of people that aren't happy that Serenity and Firefly didn't get the chance it deserved. So, no Serenity sequel. There's also some news regarding a ton of movies over at Fox. IESB.com did a great interview with Fox chairman Tom Rothman. I encourage you to check it out in the show links. Tom says that regarding X-Men, that there are going to be ensemble X-Men films, and he says, "I think this is what I've always said, this is the truth. X-Men is a very well-populated universe, and I am sure that we will see those and many other characters from the X-Men universe. Again, I've always said that. I do not believe we'll see that exact grouping of characters again. The story arc and those characters in that incarnation was completed with those three films." When he says this, it almost makes me, it's fine, that's a good answer, but an X-Men movie without a guy like Wolverine really would be unfortunate. However, if they bring back just a couple of the characters from the original X-Men movies to in some sort of supporting role, I think it would work. I don't believe that Colossus and Kitty Pryde are compelling enough to build a story around them in film. I think they need a character like a Wolverine. They don't need Storm at all. But they need a character like a Wolverine or even a Gambit. Bring Gambit in. Bring characters that are compelling and it could work. But if they take all the characters that are in the X-Men movies and not bring them back for another movie, I don't think it would do as well. On Aliens vs. Predator 2, he says, "Let's put it this way, I think the approach this time is going to be very hardcore, very R-rated. I think this is, we believe that this pass on AVP with these filmmakers is going to be a lot closer to the hardcore experience. And thank God." You know, I thought that Aliens vs. Predator 1 was horrible in its approach. It was actually not. It wasn't violent enough. And I think because that it wasn't violent enough, the movie failed. So they're saying that the next one's going to be closer to what it really would be like. I think it would be more violent between the two breeds, I guess you'd call it. So, hey, who knows, maybe it'll be better. Talks about Fantastic Four. He refers to Galactus. A.B. Arad refers to it as a force of nature. And the Galactus look, he doesn't want to give away too much, but he will say that Galactus will appear and fans will not be disappointed. You know, I wouldn't mind if they did a little overhaul on Galactus' look. I don't know if the giant head that, or the giant purple guy with the weird-looking helmet would work very well on film. There is going to be another Die Hard movie as well. He says John McClane has gone through, this is the interviewer saying that John McClane has gone through everything he's faced, some of the toughest villains. When are we going to hear who the new villain is? Soon, Tom says. Very soon, and it's very, well, we're not quite closed on it, but it's a very cool piece of casting. Very cool and contemporary. Yeah, it's going to be hard to top Jeremy Irons. Was that who? Yeah, Jeremy Irons was the bad guy in Die Hard with a Vengeance, or even Alan Rickman from Die Hard, the original. So, when he talks about he talks about the Wolverine and Magneto movies, he says, our hope would be that Hugh Jackman, after he does Baz Luhrmann's film in Australia next year, the first half of next year, our hope would be that he would be in it, he would do it in the second half of next year. So, and that's really up to him. So, apparently the Wolverine movie is on target. They just have to wait for Hugh Jackman's schedule to open up, and that's good. I'm glad that they're letting the actor determine when the movie is made. They're not going to replace him. I think Hugh Jackman has made Wolverine a compelling character on film. There might have been better people to have portrayed him, but it's good that they're going to have some consistency between the two movies. He also talks about Aragorn. He says he says that Saphira is pretty damn cool. It's fun after all this time to stop looking at a tennis ball and start looking at a dragon. Our hope is that Weta is going to do for dragons what Jurassic Park and ILM did for dinosaurs. So Weta is doing the Aragorn effects. And, you know, I actually am intrigued enough by Aragorn that I want to see it. I read the book, wasn't very impressed, like I said before. But I think the movie is going to do it justice and even make it better. Really, looks like an intense fantasy movie. So check out that interview. I'll have a link to that in the show notes. Kirsten Dunst talked about Spider-Man 3 a little bit. She said that despite the on-screen rivalry between her and Bryce Dallas Howard, who plays Gwen Stacy, they actually got along very well off-screen. Well, duh. God forbid actors not portray their characters off-screen. But anyway, there's a lot of talk whether or not there will be a death of one of the girls that's competing for Peter's affections, whether it will be Mary Jane or Gwen Stacy. Gwen, of course, died in the comics, and Mary Jane lived. But there's been talk that Mary Jane might die, and there's a lot of people rooting that Mary Jane might die because she seems to spoil things in interviews a lot. But I don't want to see Mary Jane die. Mary Jane is important to the Spider-Man mythos, but important in a different way than Gwen Stacy is. Gwen Stacy represents to Spider-Man a lost love. Mary Jane represents a love that, how do I put it? She represents that love can be attained and maintained through a lot of hardship. I don't want to see Gwen Stacy live. I would rather see Mary Jane live, even though Kirsten Dunst could be a little quieter on the spoiler front. But here's the thing, the ironic thing. Mary Jane, of course, is a redhead. Gwen Stacy is a blonde. The actress who portrays Mary Jane, Kirsten Dunst, who I've spoken about, she was blonde but dyed her hair red to play Mary Jane. Bryce Dallas Howard, the woman who is playing Gwen Stacy, is a redhead, and she bleached her hair blonde. So there's irony there. Now, if they had made Mary Jane blonde and made Gwen Stacy redhead, that might have been an interesting twist. So, you know, there are producers out there who are making movies based on comic properties and fanboy-styled properties that could take could take lessons from Sam Raimi, who has such a passion for Spider-Man that it shows through that he does the right characters and he does them right. So I have faith in Sam Raimi. He has not disappointed yet. Apparently, X-Men 3 is doing very well being sold on DVD. It's the biggest October DVD debut ever. And it has sold 2.6 million units since it was put out on Tuesday. So, you know, X-Men 3 was not a horrible movie. It wasn't great, but it's done well, and that's pretty cool. That it's the highest October DVD, which really it's proof that there will be studio push for an X-Men 4, with or without the original cast. So studios like money, and they'll make movies until nobody stops seeing them or buying them. So apparently there is another nail in the coffin for Indiana Jones 4. George Lucas has said, we don't want to make movies about Lucasfilm. He's saying this. We don't want to make movies. We're about to get into television as far as Lucasfilm is concerned. We've moved away from the feature film thing because it's too expensive and it's too risky. I think the secret to the future is quantity, because that's where it's going to end up. And regarding Indiana Jones, Steve, obviously Steve Spielberg, and I are still working away trying to come up with something we're happy with. Hopefully in a short time we will come to an agreement or something. Well, here's the thing. He says he doesn't want to make movies when it comes to Lucasfilm, but then he says that he and Steven Spielberg are working on an Indiana Jones movie. Harrison Ford isn't getting any younger. He's actually older than Sean Connery was when he played Indiana Jones' father in Last Crusade, which came out in 1989. So I am not too hard-pressed to believe there's actually going to be a fourth Indiana Jones movie. I think it sits well as a trilogy. And I don't want to see an old Harrison Ford ranting about... At this point in his age, it's probably the commies that he'd be worrying about. So, stick it to the three. Don't make a fourth one and just destroy it. It just won't work. Walt Disney admitted that downloading does not hurt sales, as reported by Home Media Retailing Magazine. British investors were told in the meeting Tuesday that online sales actually boosted DVD sales in the second season of Lost. That bolstered our view that we think this wasn't cannibalistic. In fact, we think there is a good likelihood that this keeps people involved in the shows more deeply. So, downloading TV shows from iTunes, or even illegally, is not affecting sales so much. Lost is doing very well on DVD, and regardless of that, it's just... Regardless of downloading, people are still going to go out and buy the DVDs. I haven't downloaded one episode of Lost on iTunes. I don't own Lost on DVD yet, but I think it's the first time I've heard an executive actually say downloading doesn't hurt sales at all. And we'll see what happens from there. Apparently there is a little bit of a rift in the Harry Potter camp. Emma Watson, who plays Hermione Granger, if I'm saying that name right. I have not seen Harry Potter at all, but she's saying she has yet to sign the contract for the last two movies, and she doesn't seem too eager. "I don't know yet," she told Newsweek. "Every film is such a huge production, and it's a long time. You know what? This is funny. She's making some decent money, but the studios are making a lot more. This might be a ploy to make more money, because, to be honest with you, even if she doesn't want to make more movies, she should be set for life financially for doing these movies, because she probably won't be able to portray anybody else. All those actors are probably not going to be able to work very well in other films. People are going to just look at them and say, "Hey, that's Harry Potter. Hey, that's that redheaded kid that was friends with Harry Potter. Hey, that's that chick that was in love with Harry Potter and everybody thought was a jerk, huh?" Regardless, these kids need to be set for life. There needs to be a deal in the back end. J.K. Rowling has enough money. Not that she doesn't deserve more money for every film that's made. I don't want to discount that. However, I think that there needs to be a better deal in the back end, either DVD sales, a portion of the ticket sales, something like that, to go to these kids so that even though they're not going to probably be able to work again, they'll still have some decent money, because they've sacrificed almost 7 years of their lives to these characters. Maybe they need to do what they did with Friends. When Lisa Kudrow brought up, "Hey, let's all band together and negotiate together," and that worked for them. Everybody on Friends got the money they needed because the studio could not make the TV show without them. So maybe these actors need to get together and say, "Listen, hey, hook me up. We deserve it. We've worked hard." In other movie news, Robert Downey Jr. has been cast as Iron Man, a movie directed by Jon Favreau. Well, I guess it takes an alcoholic to play an alcoholic. In other news, Revenge of the Nerds is being remade, and the cast has grown, and I don't really think a Revenge of the Nerds movie is required, another one. I don't think the nerd element is necessarily as prevalent as it used to be. Everybody uses computers now. Nerds are a little more respected because you have a guy like Bill Gates, the billionaire, and everybody knows that nerds are going to make more money, so you better be nicer to them. I don't think the stigma is there. I know there's always a rift, and there's always different people, different classes of people in each particular school, but I don't think a Revenge of the Nerds movie is even going to come close to the original, so I don't know why they're bothering making it. But, anyway. So, let's see. No other news. No other movie news. There's a ton more, but I have a lot of stuff that I wanted to get through, and I've already talked about 20 minutes about movies. So let's get on. Let's move with something else. So, here we go.
Now it's time for the Freak Accident Turkey of the Week.
I hate to keep Transformers dead horse, but our Turkey of the Week is Michael Bay, and there was an interview with him, and let's just listen for just a minute. It's on IES.
This is.
Hi, I'm with Michael Bay. How are you doing tonight?
Very good, thank you.
That's good to know.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really well, too. Okay, I know that you're recently most famous for, like, your patriotic action movies. How'd you get involved with Texas Chainsaw?
I love horror movies.
I guess that's a pretty good answer.
Yeah, that's a good answer, huh?
Okay, and what I want to know about is, can you give us an update on Transformers?
Just finished it last night. Is it patriotic? No, I don't think it has anything to do with patriotism.
It's Transformers.
It is really a fun movie. And if
it is? Oh, I'm so excited it's going to be a fun movie. Yeah, okay.
It is so not a toy movie.
It is a toy movie. It's supposed to be a toy movie. Michael, do you even know what you're talking about?
Well, I love the original, like, 80s Transformers.
Who doesn't?
I was wondering, when are we going to find out if Frank Welker's doing Megatron's voice?
Ooh, way to appeal to the fanboy in all of us. Frank Welker, name drop. Oh, yeah.
No yet. We're still thinking.
You know what that translation is? We still haven't convinced him to pay him enough money.
Because I know the original for Optimus Prime is doing it, so it'll be a great treat if we get, like, both of them together. It would be amazing.
Oh, yes, like, it would totally be amazing, huh?
Transformer fan?
Yes.
So you wanted the boxy designs back?
By the way, if you watch the video for this, I will link to it. He gets so defensive. So you want the boxy robots?
So...
You want the boxy designs back?
He's so pissed off. It's so funny.
You did, huh? A 30-foot boxy, 40-foot boxy thing up there?
That's because they're Transformers. They are boxy. That's what we grew up with. That's what all the kids are buying. The boxy Transformers. That's why they want to see them on film.
What about Grimlock now? Big
have Grimlock
dinosaur.
In this one.
Okay.
I got to tell you, I think some of the models are pretty awesome.
There we go, being defensive again. Mr. Bay, come on, quit trying to run damage control in a movie that isn't open for almost a year!
Digital models.
Well, some of the concept art that I've been seeing...
The transformations are thousands of moving parts.
Ooh.
Thousands.
Well, I guess there's a lot you can do now with the 80s.
What?
I guess there's a lot you can do now with the Transformers than you could in the 80s that are a little bit, more futuristic, you know,
right.
That would...
Come on, lady at IESB, have some guts. Tell him that you think his designs suck. You know you do.
Make more sense, I guess. But,
what would you want to see in a Transformers movie?
The Transformers? That would be a start.
I don't know. I want to see the Transformers.
Duh!
Like, I want to see them actually transform. That's something that's not animated. Like, you know, just... I'm 80s, I'm like dork, so I'm just like...
Oh, like, okay, like...
Yeah, Transformers! I heard...
You know what, I hear so many older people say, I can't wait to see it.
How many? Oh, Don Murphy.
Well, how are you planning on bringing in... Like, I know it's supposed to be like an all-new story, like a new take on Transformers, so...
Yeah, it's not even the Transformers lady.
How are you trying to bring in the new audience and keep the older audience, like, satisfied?
Because...
Oh, they're not trying to keep the older audience satisfied. Trust me, lady. Do some research.
You know what? You know, we tried to incorporate a lot of the Transformer lore, and but we had to show how they came to Earth, why they came to Earth, to explain...
See, that's the problem. how they come to Earth. We have to show that to make it. See, he's trying to ground it in reality. The Transformers are giant robots that turn into cars and trucks and all sorts of vehicles. Megatron turns into a giant freaking gun, okay? Why try to ground it into reality? I don't get him.
...made it in a movie form, so it all makes sense.
So it all makes sense to you. So it all makes sense to you, Michael Bay. It doesn't have to make sense to the rest of the fans, the people that care about it, that have devoted their time to the Transformers, and a lot of their money. It has to make sense to you, Mr. Armageddon.
And my big thing, when Spielberg called me up, is I didn't want to do a toy movie.
Then why'd you pick the Transformers to do, you idiot?
And so we had to make it, ground it all in reality. You know, so that's, you know, to me that's what makes it fun.
Okay. It makes it fun for you. I'm so glad, Michael.
You were on set wearing a t-shirt that said
giant effing robots.
Fucking robots are coming?
Apologize for that.
That's right, and I love that.
Are we gonna be able to buy those?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna make them, I'm gonna put them on my website, and I'm selling, give it for kids' charity. So I'm gonna...
I'm like, but I want one.
It's really a funny shirt.
Yeah, it's an amazing shirt. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, case in point... Michael Bay, still out of touch. That makes him our Freak Accident Turkey of the Week.
This has been the Freak Accident Turkey of the Week. Stay tuned next time and we'll tell you what projects you should probably not let gobble up your money.
Freak 5.
Alright, if you remember last week, my Freak 5 question was, what literary work do you think would make a great comic book? And I got a lot of varied responses. Enough for me not even think of one that I could come up with, because everything that I would have thought of has already been said. My first email came from Alexander Crane, who's a first-time emailer, but a listener since the first show. He said... his Freak 5, he has The Great Tree of Avalon by T.A. Barron, Small Steps by Lewis Satcher, Muddle Earth by Paul Stewart, Run and Born to Rock by Eric Walters. I haven't heard of any of those books, but I'm going to have to look them up and check them out and see if he's right. He also says, and I want to comment on some things. First, the mentioning of Calvin and Hobbes. Nice. I love them, mainly because they've been in my family for a few generations. Secondly, nice show. I have been listening from show one. Keep it up and get her done. Get her done. Yeah, you know, it's funny because I've been listening to... I just got Sirius Satellite Radio in my car, and I've been listening to Blue Collar Radio, but for some reason, I can't help but change the channel whenever Larry the Cable Guy comes on. I think I just am not entertained by him. But, get her done. Get her done. You know, every guy just don't talk like this and says, yeah, you know what, I don't understand the Christmas thing. Excuse me, I've been out of the weather, as you know. All my taste buds are screwed up. I'm drinking Diet Coke, it tastes like seltzer water. But anyways, that's Alexander's Freak 5 Plus, a few comments. Thanks for writing, Alex, and keep listening. Other Freak 5 responses, one from Steve McDonald, who I'll have a recording from later. He writes, his Freak 5 pick was C.S. Lewis's Space Trilogy. He says, start off with a 4-issue sci-fi blast, ship down with an 8-issue allegory that gets all in-depth with Ransom's character, then kick the rhyme into rhythm, or into overtime with a 12-issue maxi series for the wild and wacky finale. And, it's funny, I started reading the Space Trilogy back in college, you know, 10 years ago, and for some reason something got in the way and I just never picked it up again. But the Space Trilogy, from what I understand, is the least... It's so unrecognized by people when it comes to C.S. Lewis's work. I know his work on theology was brilliant, as well as the Chronicles of Narnia, but the Space Trilogy was almost ahead of its time. And not a lot of people have noticed it, and it was written before the Chronicles of Narnia, but it was just as allegorical and just as powerful. So I think that would make a great comic book. Josh Alves also wrote. Josh, as you know, is the creator of Taste Like Chicken, as well as he was the Taste Like Chicken guy, and he's done a bunch of other stuff. He actually guest-hosted for me, too. But Josh wrote that he actually talked to me in Instant Messenger, so I don't have an email in front of me. he said that his suggestions are both This Present Darkness and Pierce in the Darkness by Frank Peretti, which, you know, I think was what I was thinking when I first read that back in high school. I couldn't help but envision what it would look like in comic book form. Frank Peretti is a very visual author, and it would be a very simple translation, I think, into comic book form. What I was thinking of besides that was something that's not even Christian. It's called A Confederacy of Dunces by John Kennedy Toole. I think that would be a great indie comic adaptation of a book from the 60s that I think was great satire and ahead of its time, really. And I think a guy like Daniel Clowes or other modern indie guys like even a Jamie Cosley or Todd Webb could really pick up and run with it. It would be a fun read in comic book form. So that's all I have for the Freak Five. I haven't come up with a Freak Five topic. I'll probably post it in the blog, so look for it. And keep it freaky. And up next, feedback.
Freak feedback.
You know, the listener line has sort of been the forgotten feedback channel for most of the listeners. I don't have a lot of listeners out there. I have about 62 average downloads every week. And the listener line, I don't really get a lot of phone calls. So last week I did plead for someone to actually call the listener line to see if it actually works. Since I've only gotten two calls, one was a joke from my friend Tom, and the other was an ad for Snakes on a Plane, which I realized was from Josh Alves. And both were funny, but I've always wanted the freak, what I've envisioned for the Freak Accident was kind of like an interactive radio show. Not that I can take callers live and talk to them and react to them, but, you know, that was my approach all the time, and it's been nice to, you know, have a listener line, but nobody's really been taking advantage of it. But it was nice enough to receive two phone calls this week. One was a comment from a listener who is also a longtime friend, and the other is a friend who went to a convention and had a few thoughts. Actually, the convention he was going to was canceled. So the first call we're going to go to, as soon as I get my media player going, is from Steve McDonald, who is, of course, in Massachusetts. He is a writer for Christian Comics, and he is just a good guy. He's always been really, really supportive of the Freak Accident, and he was initially going to go to the Mighty Minicon in upstate New York in Utica, which is a convention I was going to go to, but scheduling didn't permit me to really go, and I didn't have anybody to, any reason to. There were a few people I would have liked to have met, but I was going to go mainly as a support for Tom Hall and Daniel Bradford, who ended up having to be canceled out of the show, but the show itself got canceled. So Steve called in with his thoughts on the canceling as well as the show itself, so here goes.
Hi, Jeremy. This is Steve McDonald. Thanks a lot for the plug last week, and I was going to be calling from the Mighty Minicon in Utica. Funny thing about that, it was canceled at the last minute. And when I say the last minute, I mean almost exactly the last minute. I was in contact with Sherwin Schwartzrock, he from Armor Quest fame, Community Comics, and he was supposed to be one of the scheduled guests there. He was going to get in there either on Friday or Saturday, and I was talking to him about maybe taking him to dinner or something. And he, earlier in the week, I contacted him again just to see if he had his itinerary. He hadn't. And so I had no idea where to go from there. We were planning on going in with the whole family, driving in from north of Boston. And he sent me a link to the Mighty Minicon. I guess I probably should have checked there first, but I didn't think something like this would have happened. I guess the guy that runs the Mighty Minicon, he had some family problems, I guess a couple of deaths in his close family, and was trying to use this as sort of a cathartic thing to work through whatever he was going through. I sort of feel bad for him, but if it was any later that we had found this out, we would have been stuck for the rental car and the room rental, which, I mean, putting it in perspective, I think I'd rather do that than lose family members. I feel kind of bad for the guy. But luckily, Sherwin found that at the last minute and was able to save me a couple of bucks. So, sorry I couldn't call from the convention. sort of sorry I didn't go. This would have been the first time I would have met Sherwin, who I've talked to extensively over the course of the last couple of years. He's a really nice guy. And that is the convention update. Sorry about that. If there's if there's any other conventions that I'm going to get to, I will definitely let you know and either make an MP3 of it or try to call from the actual convention center. But there you go. Have fun. God bless you. Bye-bye.
So, of course, that was Steve MacDonald from the Mighty Manicon. It's unfortunate that a convention in upstate New York doesn't seem to hasn't been able to really get a foothold. I can't go to New York City. I live in Rochester. It's about 6 hours to New York, and I have a family, and it's hard to get to New York, and New York has a con like every couple of months. Will I make it to a con in New York? Probably in the next year, but it's sad that one in upstate doesn't seem to really get a following, and it was exciting to see that the Mighty Minicon was going, but, you know, I feel bad for the guy behind Mighty Minicon. Apparently his mother passed away, and he was sort of using, as Steve said, using this as a way to cope with the death of his mother, and it just is not, it didn't take off, and that's a bummer. I hope that next year that the Mighty Minicon might come back. Because I really want to go. I would love to check it out and support it. The problem is, you know, he didn't... Maybe he needs to surround himself with the right kind of people. And too often in comics do you find people who just have a lot of vision, but not enough ability to pull off what their vision is. So here's hoping that Mighty Minicon comes back. And if it doesn't, let's hope somebody else rises from the ashes. My next caller was Dan Edwards, who is a guy I went to college with. Dan is probably one of the most brilliant animators I know. He runs artbarn.com. It's actually art-barn.com. He is just a genius, and I don't think he knows that, or he isn't willing to admit it. And Dan's just really a good friend. And he was able to call in, and he had a few comments regarding my feelings on theme park rides as movies, as well as Shrek. So let's listen in and see what Dan says.
Hey, Jeremy. It's Dan from Bridgeton. And I was just calling in because I, first of all, I want to support the listener line because it's a sweet idea. And second of all, I've got to agree with you about all things Shrek. I think Shrek was hideous. I think that the parodies in it were not timely. Like you said, I mean, there's a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man joke. What's that, from 20 years ago? They did Live in La Vida Loca years after that trend had passed. Was there a Macarena joke? There had to be a Macarena joke. I think that it's the laziest, crappiest form of comedy ever. Let alone the fact that, you know, they had Eddie Murphy doing the same comic relief sidekick voice that they had just had in Mulan. They have Mike Myers doing the same Scottish thing he's done a million times in a row. I mean, really, just on every level, just tepid, tame, I almost swore, just crap. Just straight up wall-to-wall crap. Other things I want to comment on, Michelle Dessler fighting the aliens and the predators, I'm psyched about it. I thought the first one was probably the best film ever made, despite the fact that it really wasn't that good. I loved it. And movies made based on theme park rides, I'm behind it. I can get into them. I think that it's just one more thing to adapt from. And people who, you know, grew up with the theme park rides, I mean, like you know, I mean, I've been to Disney World too many times. But when you see those elements from the theme park ride on the screen, just like when you see something from the comics brought to the screen, you're always in the fanboy in you is sitting there going, oh, they finally did that. Or, hey, that's the thing from issue whatever. Well, theme park rides are the same way. Maybe you just don't feel as psyched about them because it's not something that you've, you know, been as familiarized with. All right, I've talked enough. It's your show. Good job. Keep going. Bye.
Thanks for calling, Dan. You know, I couldn't help but, you know, look at it from your angle when it comes to the movies based on theme park rides. You know, I didn't grow up going to Disney, and I have never been to Disney, and I would like to go eventually, and I even talked to my wife about it. If we don't have another child in the next few years, we're going to have to go. I've kind of been holding off going to Disney because I don't want to take one kid and then have another kid kind of miss out and then have to wait a few more years to take the other kids so they can enjoy it. So we talked about actually Disney World a few days ago, And, you know, as a guy who never grew up with theme park rides, I guess it just, you know, I grew up with Darien Lake. You know, Darien Lake is a small little Six Flags park here in the Rochester area. And I only started going there in high school. So it just never really clicked with me, the idea that you could get a movie based on a theme park ride. But I agree, you know, it's interesting to see things that you grew up watching or seeing or looking and experiencing come to life. You know, but I think the problem is the pool might be too shallow. And that's going to require some good writing. And I guess with Pirates of the Caribbean, that's what you got. You got a good writer, and of course you got an amazing cast. Johnny Depp has really made those movies bearable. So, you know, I kind of, you know, I'm leaning towards, okay, I get it now. I understand. Dan was eloquent enough to, and articulate enough to really present that point to me. And I agree. Thank you for calling in, Dan. The other things, Shrek, yeah, I'll never like Shrek. I don't think they're trying hard enough with Shrek. I think they're trying too hard to be funny. And making a third Shrek movie is really like beating the proverbial dead horse. I don't know what more they could do in the universe of Shrek. I'm glad I'm not the only one who noticed the fact that the voice of the dragon in Mulan obviously was Eddie Murphy. And then the voice of Donkey is the same voice. You know, Eddie Murphy doesn't really change up his voice for either character, and it's the same kind of concept. He's the annoying sidekick, fast talking sidekick, you know. And I kind of get his role in Shrek, but the problem is it just isn't fun to look at. It's ugly. The animation is just tired and gross. It doesn't look. It's trying too hard to look real, and in trying that hard, it fails. I don't know if I'm saying that the way that I mean it to say. It just does not. It's the skin doesn't look right, and it's gross. It's hard to look at. I would rather, you know, if Shrek had tried to be a traditionally animated movie, I think it might have worked. But it's playing around in that field of CGI that makes it ugly, and I'm not excited about a third Shrek movie. Yeah, Alien vs. Predator. The greatest movie ever made, even though it wasn't that good. That has to be my favorite line from any voicemail ever. So, yeah. If you want to be a part of the Freak Accident listener line, feel free to give us a call at area code 206-203-2938. That's 206-203-2938. Or if you're afraid of hearing your voice on the radio or on your MP3 player, per se, send us an email at freakax, that's FREAKAX, at gmail.com. That's FREAKAX, at gmail.com. And you can find us now on MySpace. That's right, I have given in to peer pressure. We have a MySpace account. It is myspace.com/freakaccidentpodcast. That's freak, FREAK. Accident, ACCIDENT, podcast, PODCAST. That's myspace.com/freakaccidentpodcast. Come and make me your friend. I only have two friends. That's me and comedian Brian Posehn, who loves comics. Now, I don't even know if he's ever listened to the podcast, but I actually requested his friendship. So come find me on MySpace. That's myspace.com/freakaccidentpodcast. So, there we go. That's enough feedback, and let's close this baby up.
Check, please!
Alright, let's tie this up. Let's button this thing up. Let's close this thing out. Can I come up with any other metaphors for ending the show? I don't... Hold on. Hello? Oh, hey, Travis Seidler. What up, dog? Yeah. I did get the comic. It's awesome. No, that's not my entire review of the comic. I'm actually recording the podcast right now. Yeah. No, I'm not doing the review yet. I will. Yeah, I will in the next, maybe not in the next episode, but the episode after. It's a long book, Travis. Come on, man. I want to give it the best review possible. I can't give it half-baked. Yeah. I promise. I will. All right. Take care, man. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That, of course, was Travis Seitler from Gemstone Comics, who sent me a book to review. But anyway, thank you for listening here to the Freak Accident Podcast. If you want to be a part of it, feel free to give the listener line a call at area code 20... Hold on one second. Hello, hey, babe. Yeah. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I'm tying up my podcast right now. Yeah, most of the post-production should be done. Yeah, by the time you get home. Yeah. All right. I love you, babe. Bye. Anyway, if you want to be a part of the podcast, feel free to give it a call at area code 206-203-2938. That's 206-203-2938. Or send us an email at freakax, that's freakax, at gmail.com. That's freakax at gmail.com. Or check out our MySpace at myspace.com/freakaccidentpodcast. That's myspace.com/freakaccidentpodcast. So if you join us there, it'd be great to make friends, you know, even fake ones like on the MySpace usually are. But I will actually answer my messages if you send me one at FreakX, the FreakX MySpace. So if you want banners or anything like that to promote the podcast, we're hoping to start a street team thing up. If you're interested, give me an email or a call at that number, and we'll get things going. So take care, keep it clean, and keep it freaky.
Freak. Accident. Accident. Accident.